with liberty and justice and possibly amnesty for all. This is the news, according to me. Good morning. It is Friday morning. It's almost 8 o'clock, 7:50 a.m. Friday morning, September 16th, 2022. I think it's 2022, actually. Yeah, I almost said 2021 because I was looking at a past file I had recorded. It said 2021 on it. I almost said 2021 instead of said 2020. It's weird how our brains work sometimes. Well, I should say it's weird how my brain works. I can't speak for everybody's brain. I could speak for a few people's brains. Or the lack thereof. Yeah, I have a couple things I have recorded this morning. And this isn't going to be a really long show because I've got a whole lot to do before I get traveling. I got to go to Atlanta again for a while. And I have a couple things I've recorded this morning. One is concerning, well, the whole Trump indictment thing. Greg Jarrett kind of spelled it out as clearly as clearly can be, just as concise, and he kind of rolled the whole thing up into one little ball that really, I think, kind of, at least on the surface, covers so much of what's going on with this Trump thing that it canonizes the whole thing that's going on with the court case. Of course, that's we'll get to that in a little bit. But the first thing I want to talk about is what's in my cup. I have, or I should say cups. I have a backup cup this morning. I'm at the home studio again. I never did make it to the World International headquarters to do a show this week. I apologize for that. Next week won't be much better because I don't get home until Wednesday night late, possibly Thursday. Which means maybe Friday morning I might have a show from the actual, in fact, the plan is to have a show from the headquarters on Friday. However, I'll be camping again on the weekend, next weekend, and I'll be getting ready to do that, so there'll be a lot going on. However, having said all that, I am going to, I'm just going to say this. I have a cup full of, you guessed it, vanilla chai with sweet vanilla creamer in it. Now, my backup cup this morning is sweet tea. And it's this sweet tea. It's I can't remember what brand it is. It's a kind of a local brand. It's actually pretty good. I always question tea that has been made. They have to have homogenized it somehow. I'm not sure exactly what they do, whether they cook it or they do something to make it so it doesn't go bad soon. Like, I don't think they put some kind of preservative in it. When I make tea at home, I make tea, and within a few days, usually within 4, 5, 6 days, the tea starts to get a little funky taste to it. Especially if you don't keep it cold enough. It kind of depends on how you make it, too. But it's usually within 4 days, I'm usually looking to have it all drank, or else it's going to be, it's going to start to turn funky. I mean, it can last a week, maybe. That's kind of stretching it. But you start noticing this taste that it has. And what that taste is, it's coliform bacteria, which is not a deadly thing. It's just can kind of give you some intestinal stuff. But it's this tea, we bought this before we went. See, when did we buy this? I think we bought this before we went on the boat trip, which was Labor Day weekend. Now, it was packed in ice the whole time, and it's been kept cold the whole time. And it wasn't opened until who knows when. Who knows how long it sat in the store. Sure wasn't made that day. So the stuff's been around a while. And it still tastes good. It kind of makes you wonder. It's been 2 weeks since we bought it, let alone since it was made. Who knows when it was made? I haven't looked at the date on it. Probably should. Probably last year. But that's my backup cup I have this morning to wash down my chai, which tends to kind of bottle up my throat a little bit. It has a tendency to kind of gum up things. But chai has a tendency to, it's not the best thing. Any kind of dairy products or anything that's got cream in it, it's usually not the best thing for your throat as far as speaking and singing. Because it does kind of razzle things up a little bit. Tea is okay, even though caffeine, they say don't even drink caffeine because it has an effect on your vocal cords and all that kind of stuff. However, that's not a huge concern of mine. At my age, I think I've only got one chord left. It's a C chord. C. S-E-A. Yeah. I want to play this little wrap-up thing here from... Well, no, first I want to play this... actually, I want to play the Kamala Harris thing. You know, I think I might be on to what they might be about to do with the elections coming up. Now, I don't know. This would take a broad, sweeping turn of events. But this is just September, so we still have all of October yet. You know, they have been very strategic about the way they've been. Here's the irony and, of course, the hypocrisy. It blows my mind when I hear Democrats talking about the hypocrisy of the Republicans. Hypocrisy is the Democrats, not their middle name. It's like their surname. I don't know. This, again, gets back to this whole thing of self-awareness and having any kind of ability to see yourself in a mirror. And apparently, they don't have that ability. Or if they do, they walk away and don't notice if there's anybody, you know. They just forget about what they've seen. Because there is abundant hypocrisy on the left. And there are whole channels on YouTube dedicated to pointing out every day, sometimes twice, three or four times a day, statements that are made that are hypocritical or the hypocrisy. They're saying one thing and doing another, or they say one thing one day and they say something different the next day. Tyler Zed has a channel called Zeducation. Pretty funny channel, like a pretty funny guy. He recently had a little post about a bunch of tweets. Things people were saying before the pandemic and then what they're saying now. The names that they were calling people, the things that they were saying about people who didn't want to take the vaccine or didn't want to wear a mask. And now the way they're talking, it's like within months. These people have completely flipped around, and if you looked at either one of their statements, they're condemning themselves. Because they are intellectually higher, they're a higher breed. They are much more evolved than the drogues, the Democrat Party is the hierarchy of society. They don't drive around in pickup trucks with Trump flags on them. Now, you know, that's the depiction they would like to have you equate yourself with. This is the kind of person that the Trump supporter. Well, it just so happens there's Trump. Should we talk about the kind of people who are Obama supporters or Biden supporters? Should we talk about that? Should we get some kind of an icon for that? I can find plenty of people who would, I digress. Let's go back to this whole thing. This may be their plan. I don't know. But now they're starting to talk about it. And now it's starting to come clear. I can see this on the horizon. Here's what we're talking about. Here's the talking point. This was Kamala Harris. She's being interviewed by somebody. I don't know who. And she makes this statement. This was reported on Fox News, but I'm gonna play this. I'm not sure who she's being interviewed by. Let's listen to the clip and then we'll analyze it. So let's see if I can pull it up here without. Yeah, here we go.
We also have to put in place.
Let's go back to the. Sorry.
We also.
There we go.
We also.
All right. Sorry about
have that. To put in place a law and a plan for a pathway for citizenship for the millions of people who are here and are prepared to do what is legally required to gain citizenship. We don't have that in place because people are playing politics.
People are playing politics. That seems a little rich, doesn't it? Doesn't that seem a little rich to me? It just seems a little rich. All right, let's break this down. Let's start with the first statements here that she makes, and we'll just go from there.
We also have to put in place a law and a plan for a pathway for citizenship.
For a pathway to citizenship. We have to put in place a law and a plan for pathway to citizenship. What she's talking about, whenever you hear the Democrats talk about immigration reform. Why do we need immigration reform if the border's wide open? Well, the border's closed. No, it's not. You got people walking across the border saying the border's not closed. We just walked in. And of course, the left goes nuts now. MSNBC's, they're treating these people like pawns. They're treating them like chattel. They're deceiving these people into thinking they're going one place and they're going someplace else. They're sending them to Martha's Vineyard for what nicer place you want to send these people? They send them to the doorstep of Kamala Harris, by the way. They send them to her address. That was interesting, too. But they're sending them to Martha's Vineyard. Two airplanes were sent from Florida with people that hopped off the planes. Of course, now they were taken care of right away. They have a homeless shelter there with 10 beds. It's never been used, I don't think. So organizations stepped in to help take care of them. Good for you. That's great. That's great. Are we going to deport them now? No, so they're not talking deportation, not talking getting rid of them. These are refugees. The refugees who've been oppressed and they're seeking asylum because they're political prisoners. They're politically under duress. No. Economically, they're poor. Okay, they're poor. They're trying to come to America because their country is crap, and they've got because of the way the government has taken over there, which is the root causes. We just need to look at the root causes. Well, why don't you look at the root causes staring you in the face right there in front of your house there right now? If the border won't come to you, if you won't go to the border is going to come to you. That's what this amounts to. And you got a minuscule tenth of a percent of what's going on the border down there. I haven't talked about the border much this year. I rarely mention it, but I'm going to get into it on this particular program because it's atrocious what's been going on down there. And talk about inhumane conditions. And there's nothing they can do about it. It's just this onslaught of people. The number of getaways or gotaways is really unknown. They don't know how many. And then you got the catch and release program. And this is all part of a strategy to change the demographic of the country, not to brown, to Democrat. They want voters. They want another wave of people that they can keep on their plantation. They'll give them free stuff if they vote for them. This is how their country got destroyed. So they're coming here to get the same stuff and then destroy the country again. We'll see how this works out. I'm sickened by what I'm seeing happen in my country, just in my measly little 60 years here. It's absolutely crazy. So she has to have a plan and a law. So people can be What's the word? Become citizens. They may be pushing for this possibly for 2022, but I guarantee you they're going to want it for 2024. There's not going to be an end to this. We're going to have millions upon millions of people in this country who are going to get amnesty. And she's talking about amnesty. Whenever the Democrats talk about immigration reform, they're talking about amnesty. They're not talking about shutting down the border. In fact, when they talk about amnesty, they talk about it. They say, well, yeah, well, we'll give you, we'll close up the border. Then see, Reagan did this. He granted amnesty with the understanding that we're going to close the border. The Democrats didn't do it. They reneged. They backstabbed him big time. They did not get the border closed. And they just kept flooding in again after that. Now, maybe the most efficient way to deal with... See, the problem is we got people coming in from other countries right now. Most of them military-age young men. We're coming into this country, and we have no idea who they are. We could be... We're being invaded. This is what it amounts to. Or we could very well be being invaded by military people and terrorists. Actual disruptors. Which, you know, most of them are in the White House anyway, so. Let's see what else she has to say here.
For the millions of people who are here and are prepared to do what is legally required to gain citizenship.
They're prepared to do what is legally required to gain citizenship. They were prepared to illegally break into our country. But they're prepared to do what is legally required to gain citizenship. And what is that requirement there, Kamala? Nothing. You want to just sweepingly grant them citizenship. Sign a piece of paper. Here you go. That was your entrance into the country. Meanwhile, people are standing in line the way they're supposed to. And they're getting the shaft. They're getting the bad end of this deal because that's what is happening here. What we're telling the world is you break into our country, come across the border, we'll go ahead and take care of you and make you a citizen. If you stand in line, it could take you years. But the first thing we got to do for you is get you that driver's license and get you, qualified to vote. Because, you know, after, and you got to vote for us because we're the ones who gave you citizenship. That's what this is about. Millions of people, she says. If millions of people, why are there millions of people, Kamala? Because your party let them in. That's why. We have Corrine, brazen enough to stand up there and read out of her little book. She's not a very good reader, by the way, either. She's reading from her little book about how the system is broken because of previous administrations. The system is broken. We need immigration reform because the system is broken. The system you want is just to have people come across the border and check in and sign up, and here you are. Welcome to America. Here's your voting card. Here's your Democrat membership. That's what this is about. The system is broken. The system wasn't broken 2 years ago. This is going to cost us hundreds of billions of dollars in services that will never be paid back in taxes from these people working. Never. And so here we have this border that was being closed off so that we could get back to regulating and controlling immigration. We let in over a million people, legally let in over a million people a year. We could probably, obviously we could let more in if we could just, you know, regulate that. If the border was actually closed, I think people are very welcoming here. I'm not saying I don't want immigrants to come in. But we have to have some kind of control over who these people are. We have to know who they are. They have to be part of the system. They have to stand in line. and do the right thing. But, oh, they're willing to do whatever it takes to legally become a citizen. No, they're not. If that was the case, they would have gone to a checkpoint at the border and said, I'd like to become a citizen. How do I apply to be a citizen? No, they just came across the border. Here I am. Get amnesty now and I'll vote for you. That's where we're at with this.
Have that in place because people are playing politics.
We don't have that in place because people are playing politics.
Citizenship. We don't have that in place because people are playing politics.
We don't have that in place because people are playing politics. Rich statement from Kamala there. This is just another one of their attempts, what they do so well, to blame everybody else but themselves for this problem. It's a problem that they create that they wouldn't have the solution for. And their solution is always, we just wave the magic wand and we just throw money at it or we just grant you this ability. Oh, you're racist if you don't like it. No, I'm not. It's not about race. Nothing has nothing to do with the color of your skin. Nothing to do with your ethnicity. It's nothing to do with that. We can't just open up the door and let everybody in. Do that. I'll tell you what, when that next plane shows up over there in Martha's Vineyard, just everybody open up your doors. Just let them all in. If that's the way you feel about it. That's my house. It's my personal living space. Yeah. That's what we're talking about. We have something here called property ownership here. The federal government's allowing people to just trample over that. They have one job. Secure the border. They're going after Mike Lindell and his cell phone. MSNBC had I wonder if I can find the headline. It's quite telling. MSNBC had a headline. The subpoena of my pillow guy, Mike Lindell, says, here it is, Trump. This is Lawrence on MSNBC. Trump has poisoned the federal judiciary. Trump has poisoned the federal judiciary. Trump has done that. Really? Here is, one of the other things was, what I was looking for that I can't find here, is what the confiscation says about the MAGA that was the term that they used. Maybe I can find it on my phone. Because it was quite Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I just got a text from my wife about something. Where was it? Oh, I can't find it here. I'm getting distracted here by other things. yeah, it was. Oh, now of course my YouTube account resets. I don't know where it's at. Yeah, it's not on that stuff. It was another one. I think it was an MSNBC. It was talking about how what this says about the MAGA, what's happening with the MAGA investigation. I'm sure that they have real good insight on what that means, which basically is usually ridiculous, which it is. So I'm going to play this clip. This other clip that I have here, and it is quite interesting. This is Greg Jarrett basically going over the whole thing of kind of summing up everything, a really good summary of everything, I think, in terms of what's happening with this whole thing. And I've got some questions. When we get done with this, I'll ask you the questions, and we'll go from there. Oops. Let's go back.
I think he's judging.
Here we go.
Yeah, the almighty, imperious Merrick Garland seems to think he's judge and jury, still wearing a black robe elevated above everybody else. And the judge, in diplomatic terms, spanked him and said, look, you're arguing assumptions, and you haven't given the other individual here, Donald Trump, an opportunity to make a counter-argument. You're assuming that there's no executive privilege. You're assuming the alleged classified documents are indeed classified when Trump says they were declassified. And so the judge said it's not up to you. These are issues of law and fact that are to be litigated. And we're first going to have an independent, neutral individual go through all of these documents, and then will it litigate things like classified and executive privilege. And the judge, you know, also once again in her order this evening sort of spanked Merrick Garland, saying you're your own worst enemy. Instead of seizing documents you claim you want, you took everything under the roof. You took things with no evidentiary value that are not only covered by attorney-client privilege, you took personal possessions, tax and accounting and medical records and clothing, newspaper articles, photographs, and you won't give them back. And so, you know, I think this judge really smells something fishy going on with Merrick Garland and the DOJ, because his arguments make no sense. He claims we have no time for a special master. Everything's urgent here. Well, then why are you appealing to the 11th Circuit, which will only prolong the process? Why are you so vigorously opposed to a special master, somebody who's neutral and independent, that would reassure Americans that the process is fair and objective? And so the judge, I think, made the right decision and called out Merrick Garland.
That pretty much sums it up. Now, hopefully this is what's happening. Hopefully the judge is seeing through what's going on with the DOJ. It's very intimidating for a judge or for anybody in legal counsel to be at odds with the DOJ. Any judge who wants to further their career or to stay on the bar, to stay on the bench, has to sometimes play nicey-nice with some of the powers that be. And unfortunately, these powers that be use that intimidation to their advantage. That's what's happening. So as we see that, as we recognize what's going on here, the question I have is, can anybody tell me, do you know, and I'm sure you can probably look it up, what the charges are against Trump in this court case? Is this a civil court matter? Is it a criminal court matter? What are the charges? Who filed the suit? Who started this whole thing? The sad part of this whole mess is that the DOJ has become weaponized. We are seeing a systematic, not a random event here. They are deliberately and systematically vilifying anything with the term MAGA associated with it. Just like they did with the organization, the Oath Keepers. If you know more about the Oath Keepers, you'll understand this is not a racist group at all. How it was founded, what it was about, what it is about. has nothing to do with racism. Now, the Proud Boys, I don't know. I don't think they're racist at all. I don't necessarily agree with their tactics. However, they have been so vilified by the left. They're a white supremacist group. Really? Yeah, I don't know much about them. Anyway, the all I know is that they're overblowing that whole thing. But because they showed support for Trump, that made them villains. Of course, they singled out that group. But now it's reaching out into everybody. You know, the guy who sells pillows. The guy who happened to be involved in some of the election stuff was trying to find out the truth about what happened in the election. All of a sudden, he's a criminal. We have to seize his phone. We have to seize his records. Next thing, they're going to be raiding his house and taking all of his underwear. Probably stuffing it in pillowcases and walking out with it. These people have no shame, no morals, no integrity, certainly no objectivity. So hopefully this judge is seeing through some of this. And the special master now that's going to oversee this, I understand that there's been one appointed now, and they're going to start looking over some things. Now, of course, Greg Jarrett brings this up. Why are you concerned about having a special master over this and having a referee, having somebody have a second eyes looking at this case? Why are you scared about? What is the problem here? Why wouldn't you be welcoming that? For the sake of the country and the process. But no, you want to appeal to the 11th Circuit. Like he said, this is such an urgent deal, but this is going to take longer. Why is it so urgent? Everything was locked up. Well, it's urgent because the election's coming up. We're on a time schedule here. That's what most of this is about, is the election. Amnesty for all. Now, will they get that accomplished before? This may be the next thing that gets all of a sudden this new omnibus bill that comes through. The next crisis that comes through is also going to include. We got this crisis. We have a water crisis. We have a drought crisis out west. So we need to spend $800 billion on that. And we're going to go ahead and include, you know, because you know, people coming across the border, they don't want to come across the border and then find out they don't have any water. So we're just going to go ahead and give them amnesty and voting rights. That's going to be part of the bill. Yeah. We're going to call it the Protect America and Save Our Water Bill. Spend $800 billion on it. We don't know where the money's going. It's basically mostly going to be going to the IRS. And to the people coming across the border. We're going to give hand each one of them about $100,000 just to get started. Just give them a little seed money, you know. Which won't incentivize anybody else to come in, I'm sure. You know, that'll solve the problem once and for all. Sure it will. Here we are again. Here we are again with me ranting. 33 minutes into the show, which actually is all the longer I can go this morning. I've really have to get going here because by 8:30, which means that by the time I get all this stuff posted and get everything all done. See, I don't actually post anything. I can't write a script for this show. I never know what subjects I'm going to talk about, so I can't even write the title of the show until it's done. And I have to write it right away or I forget what I talked about and then I have to listen to it again. So what I have to do here is I post everything in there. I save it into my little folder, and while I'm doing that, I'm typing into my little paper, my little thing there, not my paper, but I'm typing it into my little form there on my cut and paste stuff so that I can cut and paste this into the title of the show and what it's about. And then I post it up there on Podbean and Castos. Get it up there on my platforms. And then it goes out into the world webs, you know, goes all over the world. because it goes out there worldwide. It's all over the place. I don't know where all it goes. It just goes there. It goes everywhere. Into millions of people's homes. Just spills into people's homes. Just voices start coming out of the walls. It's amazing. It's an amazing technology. It's happening there. I don't know if we've picked up some new listeners. I noticed my subscription rate people, that's apparently has picked up a little bit. So I'm not sure what's going on with that. It's kind of rare in today's world. My accounts typically, especially on YouTube, my accounts have been heavily redacted. These guys that complain and talk about how they're, my show has been, I'm losing subscribers. Oh, yeah. This happened to me years and years ago. Over 5 years ago, I was shadow banned and started all views that I had on my on some of my videos disappeared. I had videos with thousands of views. Now you look at them and there's like 10. The same video. How does that happen? Some of the videos just disappear. They're just gone. They didn't tell me they were taking them down, nothing. They're just gone. And there's other things, of course. My subscribers went from thousands to nothing. No subscribers at all. None on YouTube. This was years ago. I haven't even really posted anything on YouTube for a while because I don't get any views. I post something and there's zero views. How's that happened? Zero. So I'll go in with another account and I'll watch the thing. Still zero views. I don't understand that. But I digress. This being Friday, and this being the end of the week, as it said, basically tomorrow's the end of the week, but it is Shabbat Shalom, and so I'll try to settle down and be at peace for tomorrow. But in the meantime, I think it could be best if we all just try to get along. What I want to do is I want to end the show with this. As we approach the elections, I think it's very critical and important that we understand and realize that we really need to pray for our nation, pray for our leaders, pray for God's truth to shine through in the midst of the darkness that we're seeing around us. Because that is, as Lincoln said, let the nation know the truth. Let the people know the truth and the nation will be saved. We just need to know the truth, both ideologically as well as just fundamentally and what all is going on. And if that's the case, if we know the truth, the people will do the right thing. The nation will respond properly. We also need to know the truth about ideologies, because it really is key. Understanding the truth about just this idea of just giving people things and what that does to a society. Look what it does to people's kids. If some guy makes a bunch of money, just gives his kids money. They never have to work for it. Pays for everything. They never have to struggle. What kind of kids they become? It's just the law of social dynamics, I guess. God bless everybody. Shabbat Shalom. Have a great weekend. Keep praying for our nation. Praying for each other. Take care. Thanks for listening.